I'm Simon Jordan. You'll probably be familiar with me.
Why don't you just go, I'm Simon Jordan? That'd be enough for him.
Yeah. I'm Simon Jordan. You'll probably be familiar with me interviewing people with strong views.
But it's about time someone had a word with him about his vacuous opinions.
That's why myself, Troy Deeney, and the legend that is Graham Souness have joined forces with Mr. Simon Jordan to create Free Upfront, brought to you by William Hill.
This is a new show that tells it like it really is.
And it reaches in to all corners of the game we truly love.
Wow, that little bit.
Oh, Graham, that was brilliant. That extra word you put in there.
Everything that matters to you is analysed through the eyes of a player.
A manager.
And an owner. As we tackle the biggest talking points in world football on Three Upfront.
So subscribe to the Upfront channel for new weekly episodes.
And don't forget to go back for some of my Upfront episodes. Not bad, if I do say so myself.
Hold on, mate. You can't be promoting each other's show.
Oh, you very well can. This is the opportunity you've been got in the back of it. Jurgen Klopp's farewell tour hasn't gone quite as planned. It was only 2 months ago that a young Liverpool team picked up the Carabao Cup, with the present and future looking incredibly bright. Four trophies was a real possibility, but that's gone by the wayside. Klopp and Salah appear to fall out on the touchline. They've not kept pace with the title race and lost the Merseyside derby with a pitiful performance. Feyenoord's Arne Slot appears to be anointed the man to follow the man. But with some questionable transfers, star players soon to be out of contract, and doubts about his experience, Slot's in-tray starting to look pretty hefty. January 26th, when Jurgen Klopp announced that he was departing Liverpool, you allegedly managed Liverpool once. What was your reaction to that sort of perceived bombshell news?
I mean, when you look at Jurgen, he looks shot. He looks, you know, as if he's been dragged through a hedge backwards after a game. He really is feeling it. And I think he does need a rest. You know, managing that football club is a is a big number. It's, you know, pressure on, expectation level, enormous. They've promised so much this year. I thought whoever gets this job is walking into a really healthy situation. You've got a few players out injured who didn't take part in the League Cup final. You've got all these kids that have played in it and still managed to get a result. And I'm thinking, you know, the kind of players have got, there was only Salah that was an outstanding issue in terms of getting them to re-sign another contract. I'm not sure if that is the case anymore, but I have to change my mind. These players have shown something that I didn't think they were capable of.
This Salah and Klopp incident, I mean...
He's off, Simon. I believe he's off.
Yeah, so do I. But, I mean, what do you make of that dynamic? Because the media will latch upon it, right? And they'll go, look at that. The shit's hitting the fan here. Klopp's out of the way. Salah, they're having fallouts on the touchline. It looked to me like Klopp's got the needle because they're not playing very well at this moment in time. They've just scored West Ham. He's had a little dig at Salah for whatever he wasn't ready in time or whatever else. But the player coming back at him, I mean, as a player, if you know a manager's leaving, are you different in your mindset to them?
Yeah, I would say you'd have to be, especially from like the experiences at Watford, when you know that ours is a little bit different. You knew that could change any minute and you had the sense maybe that week leading up to it that he'll be if we lose this one, he'll be gone.
Respect can't go that quick, can it?
I think it's just a case of Salah, who has been fabulous for Liverpool. Salah, who will be the biggest star in the Arab world, will have a, and all players do, an exceptionally large opinion of himself. And he'll have been angry at not starting the game and not and be angry at not getting onto the game earlier. And I think that was a reaction. You know, you put me on with, what was it, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. What, you want me to go and change it for you now?
But we've all got that ego, though, as well.
You're not leaving it a bit late. So but I think that was more Salah than
And that's fine. Jurgen and, but it's I can see that because it happens all the time sometimes. And just because it's Klopp and Salah and the wheels have come off of Liverpool over the last 2 or 3 weeks with Palace, Everton, Atalanta. But the comment when you're walking through the mixer.
Yeah.
And it, and he's throwing more shade on it, isn't he?
That says to me that didn't go the way he wanted to in the dressing room. That's what that says to me. And I've had a situation like that with Walter Mazzarri when he dropped me at Spurs. I never got to, I got come on for 10 minutes with 4-0 down.
But I never, changed the game for me.
Yeah, 4-0 down. You dropped me, he dropped me the morning of the game. I scored the game before and then brings me on with 10 minutes to go 4-0 down. Then they do the mix zone and they go, Troy, do you want to have a word? Probably not the best time. Carried on walking. That got blown up into something. But what it says to me is that they had a conversation in the dressing room. And I think it'd be more the boss telling him, and he's had to keep his mouth shut, or the lads have said, shut your mouth before you go out. And that's his moment to have his little say that I'm not too happy with this. That's how I perceive that. But it doesn't look good. It never does.
I forget the weekend. Prior to that, whenever he's taken them off, he's never been happy. And I'm
sorry. He shouldn't be, should he?
That's what you want from your players.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've only got two goals today. I'll get another one. He's a goal machine.
It's a balance, though, isn't it?
And I'd often say, when Manny was there, he would follow him every game they played together. Yeah. I think he's the most selfish player I've ever witnessed. Salah. Yeah. I think you'd be...
I had this thing, and we spoke about it off air, me and Simon. I got hammered for saying he's not world class. And what I mean by that, I think world class is reserved for a very four, maybe five players at best at this current time. I don't think he's world class. I think he's very
good. What's your definition of world class?
I think it depends on each position, right? So in his position,
he's only asking you because he's got a smart ass answer to the question.
I'm hoping.
Yes, sir.
You come back to me and say, what is your definition then?
No, my definition for a winger is obviously I don't look on stats. It's more the eye test, because if you went on stats, Bruno Fernandes is world class, and I don't put him in that category. Similarly with Saka, I think they're both very good players. Their stats show really well, but when Salah goes through 1v1, for example, I don't go goal. That's reserved for very few people. What would you say?
Well, my definition is someone that could go anywhere and get in anyone's team. You know, world class. I said to my young boy, he's 24 now, I said to him 5, 6, 7 years ago, enjoy this, because Ronaldo's and Messi's don't come along with every generation.
Yep.
You know, they are
unbelievable.
They're generational players. They are so far ahead of anyone else. Then you had the guy, the winger, the Brazilian winger, who was destined, they all thought, to be a superstar.
Neymar never
achieved that. Got nowhere near them. So, like, who are the next ones?
When you watch when I've been fortunate to watch Neymar, I took the kids to watch Barcelona many years ago, he was an unbelievable player, but I never, ever put him in that world class, personally. I think we've got into this FIFA generation now when people go, his FIFA card's really good.
He was never going to achieve that when he moved from Barca to PSG.
Here's a question. I'll throw it to both of you. Do you think Salah gets in a Man City team or the Arsenal team?
Arsenal, maybe.
I think he'd get in both teams. I think, you know, the way...
You don't think he's world-class?
I think in his period at Liverpool, you have to say he's been world-class. I think he gets in anyone's team. Goals change games. When people talk about who's the best player you ever played with, who's the best player on that team, you have to say, the way I would want to ask the question is, who was the most influential player on that team? Now, goals do influence games.
Yeah.
So he's had enormous influence in the last 5, 6 years
A Liverpool player. Listen, I'm talking every time he played Watford, he scored 3 and beat us 6-0 every time.
That's a low bar, isn't it? Let's have it right.
Well, to be fair, we're not going to get about our Palace ones, but we'll leave that for the next one. But what I'm saying with that is he always played well against us, but I don't know. Sometimes you play against, when you play against Kevin De Bruyne, when you play against people like that, you're like, oh my God, he's playing a different game to us, the way that they're thinking, the way they move. And I just think with certain players, that's how I observe it. And like you said,
I think he would have gotten to the City team.
But he kind of half irritates me, because I don't think he's as good as people make him out to be. I do think he's a diver, but I also think he's one of those that when the going gets tough and someone puts it on him, he's
100%
he'll disappear from a game.
A couple of years ago at Old Trafford, Martinez went through him, and the rest of the game he was looking over his shoulder for Martinez. Now, he doesn't like that side of the game.
But it's interesting, though, isn't it? Because your perspective is you look at that and go, oh, he's bottled it. I look at it in the game against Everton, the last 5 minutes, balls were dropping in the box and he was like just dangling a leg out and not really there.
You'll never get hurt.
Question from a manager's point of view. Do you think Klopp has overachieved this season, or it's about right?
They've not overachieved because they've just got one League Cup to show for it. I think their form in the first, is it 7 months of the season, was the kind of form that can win you a league. And for whatever reason, it's just gone all flat for them. I don't believe for a minute it's Klopp leaving. I think they've lost their focus somehow.
So what does that tell you about the dressing room? If they're not distracted,
I'm going to tell you what it is.
It's got to be concerning, isn't it?
You have no chance of being successful at a football club unless you've got good senior pros. I just worry about Liverpool having enough good senior pros. When you get to the stage they were in, where it was in their hands, I think, They had to win every game and win the league. That is the time you get together and you say, this is it. We're going to put a foot to the floor now and we are going to win every game. And they've been the exact opposite to that.
But they've never, in my opinion, replaced the leadership group that they lost with James Milner and Jordan Henderson. Now, I know that people might talk about the qualities in terms of football, but leadership group of James Milner, we all know, trades the best. Every single day, wants to do it. Doesn't allow for anything. Jordan was similar. Who's showing the young players who come now?
But they couldn't keep Henderson, could they? Because Henderson didn't want that. He had that opportunity and he didn't fancy that.
See, if you go back to Fergie, he brought back Paul Scholes, you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
It was about turning up on time for training. The attitude in training. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, the daft cars that players buy, the daft antics young players get up to. When you look at a football club as a manager, you've had a go and it's not an easy job. This is why I say senior players are so important. If you think of a working week with no midweek game, Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, in Thursday, Friday, that's at most 2 hours a day as a manager, you're amongst your players. That's 8 hours a week. You have a chance to influence them, not just in footballing matters, but how they deal with things that happen throughout their life. 8 hours a week. And then on a match day, you have to leave them because they're in their zone, preparing for the game. That's why you need good senior pros at your football club who are spending more time than you are with those young players.
So if we're saying they haven't got enough decent senior pros, that's a telling. You must be, because you've said it.
No, I've said,
because we've got Virgil van Dijk, you've got the goalkeeper Ellison, you've got Andy Robinson.
They're obviously good enough when they're on it. They're obviously good enough to win big football matches.
Yeah, but when adversity comes,
when it comes full on there, they've not been able to deal with it. But I think, and that would suggest they don't have enough.
But I think to your point though, when you talk, let's just use the Chelsea team. There's different types of characters. So you've got captains who are screamers and shouters. Yeah. You've got some who are, I do this and I'm always on time. And you get some who are just really good players.
Yeah.
I think normally you find the best teams have a mixture of four or five and they all underpin those values. I think when you look at Liverpool, similar to what Graham was just saying, where is the four or five? Because you can have one or two.
Well, Robinson's got plenty to say for himself, hasn't he?
But he's been injured a lot. So what most players do is, I'm injured, I won't really speak. I'll try and get myself fit. You find it, Graham, right? Players speak more when they're involved. Or they say, don't really feel like I should because I wasn't involved in the game. And, you know, they just go into these little areas and self-indulgent, really, looking after themselves. And, right, I won't say too much, but when I'm back, then I'll speak again. And I just think that the mixtures are missing.
Well, it's interesting what Virgil van Dijk said the other day, because he was quite critical. What game was it after? It was against the Everton game.
Yes.
When you don't expect that kind of performance from Liverpool, do you? And Virgil van Dijk questioned. Well, it just got done by Palace.
If there's one game you're going to be up for the fight,
it's Everton.
He will know everything about Slot, being Dutch himself. Thinking about it, he is the one he must get on side. Slot must get van Dijk on side.
What's the reaction to Slot? What's the perception?
See, he's unknown, isn't he? Do you know anything about him?
Got 75% win records.
It's that league, isn't it?
When you
75% of games, we're still winning 75% of games. And you, I mean, there's some decent sides in that league. I mean, Ajax are on a decline recently, I think but they're not mugs, great, are they?
When you look at a Dutch coach, though, you always think really good coaches put on really good sessions.
The question, why? What do you base that on?
Just the history, the way that they're
because of real football in the 70s. You weren't even born then.
But I'm a historian. That's why I know who you are. Yeah, that's why I know who you are.
More so here.
But my point, what I was saying to the Dutch coaches, the way that they do, obviously put up really good sessions, and they come through the youth system normally as well. They have more of a journey, don't they, before they get the main job. They're normally working with youth teams, and then they come through the conveyor belt of the system. When I look at it, I do wonder, has he ever had to deal with any of these players? Hasn't bought anyone over 7 million?
7.5 million.
Quid's the most amount of value plus 50,000 per week. Yeah. That could be some
that's
of the...
That's the hard part of the game today.
Absolutely, and that's the bit I worry. I don't think his philosophy and what he's going to do, that would be great. They all know what they're doing.
You know what it's like? As a manager, you stand up in front of your first day at work, you stand up in front of the group of players, and you can see that they're looking at you, weighing you up. Does this guy really know anything? Yeah. If you've been a big player, it buys you a little bit of time. If you're known to them from work before, it buys you a little bit of time. But they're a fairly negative lot looking at
you. I have my opinion, but how long do you think the lads will give you?
I think it starts on a Monday and ends on a Friday. And they're thinking, he knows something or he doesn't know something.
I was going to go 2 weeks.
I was going to say to you, because do you look at it and go, right, who's this fella? And I'm going to look into him and I'm going to get a bit of understanding. I'm going to get the zeitgeist on him. Do you do that?
Absolutely. Well, I was at Watford, I'd what, 18? 18 managers right. in 12 years?
So he didn't have enough time to do it.
I've got 17 managers a sack.
No, I kept 17 in the job. Longer than they should have. No.
Talking to managers in second, I knew
that was coming. That's just an easy shot for you, isn't it? Coaching territory.
Just in case anyone watching doesn't. How many?
I didn't sack people. I helped them along their way.
There is a door. Do one.
No, I think it was. That, it was more like.
How many?
It was more like. I don't know how we're going to get along without you. But as for Monday, we're going to try.
Yeah,
that was more the sentiment.
So, give us a
nine.
Number.
You know how many it was.
I swear to God, I've forgotten. You got 17 managers a sack.
No, I gave people their start. So look, everyone's been in the who worked for me has been in the Premier League.
What do you mean everyone who worked for you?
So yeah, they worked for me. That's what it was. Did you not know Watford?
Deluded.
Like, only you can say it. We can say it. No, genuinely, with Watford, when we had, you know, managers come from Italy or second division, you didn't know who they were, you'd go on Google, and then you might say, oh, one lad that played for us, let's give him a call. What does he think? Can you try and build a little bit of an understanding before he comes in? But on the face of it, you normally go, right. What's he doing Monday to Friday? Has he taken our day off away? These are the little things that players look at.
Yeah.
What time are we training? Because some on the concert, won't they? They'll come in and go, let's say it's at 9 o'clock. Oh, we want to start at 11 and we're not going to have any days off. We had that a few times with the Italian
coaches.
There must
be a bit of crack with the players in the dressing room. Another one, next!
Yeah, that's how I normally found out because my phone would just start blowing up. But Troy, if you saw this,
did the chief exec come to you as a group and try to explain anything?
No, because the way Watford do it, it was very much one in, one out. So by the time he was out and you're wrapping your head around it, the next one's
in.
Very quickly.
Did they ever consult you as a captain? As a
Never.
Group of players?
My only bit with me was more.
Bloody right as well.
I'm asking the question because
It's not a grown up question.
The game
has
changed.
No, it was never like that. It was more of a, right, Troy, Simon's going. Graham's coming in. Tell the lads they need to be in here at 10 o'clock. That's about as much it was.
Is there ever been an instance where a manager's come in the door, created an impression, you go, nah, not having him. He's an idiot. And then he's been able to change that.
So we had Marco Silva when he came in, because he came in and wanted 10 new players. And he made no bones about it. You lot are good, but I'm going to try and get better.
But I'm going to get rid of most of you.
Day one. And everyone was a bit like, hold on a second. And he started bringing them in. He started bringing a few in. Richarlison and people like that came in and you were like, oh, could it be me next? But we started winning. And then instantly it was like, oh, it's okay. Because as soon as that window shuts and you're safe, it was okay. And then he kind of brought everyone around.
But what about you as a manager? Are you conscious as a manager walking in the door? I've got to hit this ground running. I've got to make sure that I capture their attention and hit them right between the eyes. There's no mucking about. I'm here and you'll understand where you're going.
No, because I never felt any added pressure because I had confidence. I had a great education with the people I played under. Yeah. And I like to think that common sense approach that I got as a player from the Ronnie Morans of this world, that I took that into management. I think players just want to hear common sense. Football management has never been more difficult. You know, you can only ever play, you can start only 11 players every Saturday, Sunday. At any given time, you've got five or six players that are injured. You've got five or six who are very unhappy with you because they're not in the starting 11. They're the ones you have to keep happy.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones and really, there is only one way to keep them happy, and that's by winning every game. And no one does that. So man management in football has never been more difficult than it is today.
What do you think for the original part of this conversation was about slot. How does one, you did it, Graham. I mean, you played there. So I imagine it was an even more difficult metric because you went away with people thinking so highly of you as a player and you come back with the added ingredients. But he's got to walk into Liverpool and all the expectation and I suppose the shirt weighing heavy.
He has to be himself. And the number one thing you have to get right at a football club is recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. Salah goes, they're going to have to get someone else in who chips in 20 plus goals a year because we can't rely on
Nunes,
unfortunately. Yeah. So he's hoping he's going to get the team that we saw for most of the season. He's hoping he'll have a budget to work with, whether Salah goes or not. He'll be hoping the budget's even bigger if Salah does go. And he's got to work with a healthy group of players.
They've got a big question mark about who's going to be there as well. So you say just Salah, but Trent's got a year left. Virgil's got a year left.
I think, you know, he's 33 in July, Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think, you know...
I think his job could be huge when he goes in.
But
go on.
I just look at him making the noises, which he's not done that throughout his career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Making noises. He's obviously unhappy. He'll be looking... He will know everything about Slot, being Dutch himself. Mm-hmm. Thinking about it, he is the one he must get on side. Slot must get Van Dijk on side.
Right.
If he's your captain... Well, he's a Dutchman.
He's a Dutchman, isn't he?
But mm-hmm. Van Dijk might not fancy him. He might have heard something through
the grapevine.
And he might be thinking, this guy isn't going to take us where we want to be. The clock is ticking on my career. I'm 33 in July.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to go somewhere. I want to win some more stuff. Because he's not won a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's won two of the big things.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not, you know, he's not a serial winner, is he?
Mm-hmm.
But talking about that, because one of the things that we've got with Klopp, you know, I was looking at it the other day going, I like him. I really like him. I like the way Liverpool play. For me, they're my favourite team to watch when they're at it because they're feral. Has he got away with it? Because I was looking at it and going, well, has he gotten away with a bigger reputation than his actual deeds?
Yes.
Detail.
And I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
Because he spent a fraction of what Man United have in that corresponding term. Man City. I think maybe even Arsenal as well.
Yeah, it's true.
So he spent far more. What Liverpool had... Throughout his career, until maybe jury's still out on what they brought in last season, start of this season, they have had a golden period in the recruitment. This I think you maybe alluded to it. Maybe now the person in charge of recruitment is more important than mm-hmm. the manager himself. Because if you're a manager who's being given these players, I'm not suggesting Klopp didn't have a say in who came. I would imagine had a big say, maybe the final say. But if you've got a manager who's as it would appear at Chelsea, someone was in his ear and the players they bought have just not worked so far. And I doubt if most of them will work out for them. But that recruitment part of the job is so important. And I might be inclined to agree with you. That actually might be more important than getting the right manager.
I think so, to answer your question. I think he's done, I've probably overachieved in the last 5 years. And the reason I say that is I don't think any of us look at Arsenal and Arteta and go, he should be winning leagues. He's spent more. They're doing really well.
Mm.
But Man City are still there.
Yeah.
Pep is still there.
So here's the statistics for the last 5 years between Arsenal, Manchester City and Liverpool, which goes to the argument of whether Klopp's achieved or underachieved.
So how much?
I'm going to tell you, if you listen. Arsenal spent 896 million. Man City spent 853. Liverpool spent 500 million. So we're talking about Arsenal spending double the mm-hmm. amount and Man City spending double the amount. So that goes to either Klopp being pretty bloody good or an explanation as to the reasons why Liverpool can't bridge that gap and mm-hmm. sort of hover around
job. He's done an unbelievable job then.
How big a pull as a player, Troy, is the manager? But more importantly, post-Klopp, how big a draw is Liverpool?
Liverpool will always be huge for what you've said and the history and all of the Anfield and the fans and all of that. I think when you're a player and you're looking at it, the manager is probably 70, 75% of what it is, because he's going to choose your pathway for your career, also the style of football he plays. So if you're taking, let's say, Klopp at his best and Ten Hag at his best, I'd always want to be in a Klopp team. For what you said, they're going forward to try to score more.
Mm.
A Ten Hag team is going to have a lot of the ball, but they're going to do a lot of sideways. It's probably not going to suit my game. Right, I want to go there. So I think that's where the manager pull comes into it, especially with Klopp. You're like, you'd want to play for him. Especially, I agree with your point earlier. He looks tired at the moment, but when he's at his best, even the little things for me, like trying to intimidate watching the warm-ups.
Yeah, standing little in the middle things of like watching that.
You know, he's going to go to war for you.
You must have played against Liverpool when Klopp was in charge.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean,
we stopped the run, yeah.
You beat them,
yeah. Yeah, the 3-0 run, yeah.
Yeah, the night they played Chelsea and the one they were given a cup that night, no crowds. Yeah. I was doing it for Sky.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting behind a dugout. He's full on.
Yeah.
I think Frank was in the opposite dugout for Chelsea. And then one of his right-hand men are full on. He wants to have an argument with every referee and decision. He's having a growl and he's...
And I think that's why he looks tired at the moment. I think that's just weighing on 8-9 years of that. It's hard to be the leader and the driver of it all the time.
You know he finished at Dortmund. Mm-hmm. I mean, a terrible last year at Dortmund, didn't he?
Yeah. There's also, isn't that rumours of camera crews in Liverpool's dressing room next year? And he did a statement saying I thought we signed on for that though.
I thought we signed on for that.
He's all powerful there.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been to say I'm not having that, and the people above would have to accept that.
Because I know that
they did a final war with Brendan Rodgers, didn't they?
Yeah,
when he was there.
I had that work out for him. I'm just saying. I'm not being mean spirited.
Are we, you warm me out. Is that an interesting football chat?
It's boring
you.
It's very difficult carrying you guys. It gets heavy and tiring.
Here's a question for you then, Sam, because I feel like you've been holding court. So
I haven't. I've been holding you to account.
Don't make it a football question.
So what is the process? What is the process as an owner to where you would look at Slot and go, right, he can come in and take this club forward after a club? What's that kind of process from your point of view?
What you can't have is you can't have it going patently backwards. Mm-hmm. You can price in the thinking that there's going to be a period of change and transition. And you're going to look at the recruitment and you're going to see what he wants to do and the players that he wants to buy and the culture that he wants to create. Because the challenge for this conversation is there's two parts of it. What the hell's gone on in the last 3 months that mm-hmm. we can't get our fingers on right now? Mm-hmm. We're looking at it again. Is it the players? That dressing room isn't strong enough. Is it the fact the manager's, you know, halfway out the door? So ultimately something's been lost there.
How do you get to the process of going, this is the guy that can do it? You know, in that process beforehand, when you're looking, Klopp's announced he's leaving.
Well, you interview him and you find out if he's got the chops to be able to do what
but
you think.
What are you looking for, though? That's what.
More of the same, please.
Yeah.
More of the same. I've got something that isn't broken. Mm-hmm. It's only been broken because the fellow that was running it for me has run his course. So really and truly, I don't want any more problems. I've got a nice little setup here. We're a tad away from being a side that can win major trophies. So what are you going to do to maintain the status mm-hmm. quo, maybe even enhance it? And you have to be, I think me personally, being my personality, I'd be very blunt because you can't muck about with these guys. You're going to imply somebody, whether it's me talking to Graham soon as about coming to Crystal Palace or someone implying Arnie Slot, whether it's the chief executive of Liverpool or Fenway Group themselves are getting involved in this decision and John Henry's sitting in with him. You need to be clear of what their vision are and let them tell you what they think they're going to have to achieve mm-hmm. and then decide, first of all, A, if that's what you concur with, and then B, they've given you their own measurements.
Yeah.
They've given you their own measurements. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that you interview somebody and somebody gets in the door and can give you clear direction and defines their own measurables is how you judge them. And you know, Christ, if you interview somebody, you're always likely that there's a possibility you get the wrong person. I don't suppose, different level, different size of football clubs, I don't suppose my mate Steve Parrish at Palace ever envisaged when he employed Frank de Boer that the pivot was going to be four games mm-hmm. and geez Louise, we can't cope with this fellow, he's got to go.
Yeah.
But there is always that possibility. And given the expectation of Liverpool and the uniqueness of the attention on it,
mm-hmm.
because he is following Klopp, so he's got to have the preparedness to accept that.
He's got a big personality, isn't he? He's got to be...
Yeah.
What would you say the expectation would be next year?
Win something.
Win something and definitely be in the Champions League at the end of it. But I think he will want to buy someone or a few people he knows and trusts.
Mm-hmm.
That is a danger if you buy him from the Dutch league.
We've seen that with Ten Hag, haven't we?
The Dutch league, because that league is a fair bit of a drop-off to what the Premier League is. You know, if Salah goes, that's 20-odd goals a year.
I still don't think they've replaced Mane. And I love Diaz. I think Diaz is very, very
good. He was a warrior, wasn't he? He's a warrior.
Very good. But I think, just had that raw
directness.
Pace. I'm going straight at you. Where I think Diaz is a little bit more jinky. And also, they haven't really replaced Firmino. For as much as he didn't get you 20-odd goals, could link it. And he was smart enough to drop down.
I think McAllister will be that.
Okay.
Darwin Nunes?
I like him.
I do.
I like him.
But the thing that
isn't clinical, is he?
No.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you'll score 40 goals 1 year mm-hmm. and next year you'll get 10.
Yeah.
He's a hit or miss man.
But is he, listen, they've spent, 80 million quid on him?
Mm-hmm.
And he's had now 2 years there now.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is after 2 years, you get some visibility of it, right? Is this kid good enough?
Yeah, but we're only talking about that from Christmas to now. I mean, prior to that this year, I mean, he wasn't clinical, but everything about his game, everything else about his game is fabulous.
Yeah, but that's a typical football trope, isn't it? We're only talking about 6 months because there'll be another 6 months.
No, and then eventually
you run out of 6 months.
If someone gets a sack, you'd want to play
absolutely.
With him. I'd want to play with him because he's a proper team player.
Yeah, but if you're losing Salah, you're going to miss his goals.
Absolutely. My only concern with Nunes just observation. I don't know him. He looks like a great trainer, great guy, all of that stuff. I don't think he scores a lot in training when I watch him, because he always looks surprised when he's going through. He doesn't put himself in those situations. Again, he probably does and he may do, but just observing, going, right, do you score a lot in training? Are people really hammering him if he misses in small-sided games and any of the shooting drills? Because he looks like he misses. He's like, all right, the next one. And it's a great thing
which
to have.
Good attitude.
Absolutely. But at the level that Liverpool are competing at, even at Arsenal, who are ahead of Liverpool, I still go, we need that striker. That striker will score. City have got that with Haaland, and they've probably got Alvarez as well and other goals elsewhere, of course, but just through the middle. Liverpool are missing that one for me, that one guy that you go, he scores. They've had it through the past.
That would be my worry. Nunes will still be there next year. They won't say. He does all the hard yards, you know, all the hard work, all the selfless running forward without the ball, closing down. 10 out of 10 and everything. Mm. And he's 4 out of 10 in terms of scoring goals. Mm-hmm. Salah doesn't do anything like that in terms of the hard yards, but he's 25 goals plus a season. Mm-hmm. Now, if they lose him next year, that is something you'll find very hard to replace. Tell me how much you'd have to spend to replace 25 goals a year.
He's probably going to have to get two or three players to get what Salah does in one. I think as well, just a question for you, Graham, would you...
You know, we don't talk about Jota. You like him?
I really like Jota, yeah.
He's clinical.
Really, really like him. Got to keep him fit, though. I think if it was me going in, I would look at somebody like Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler.
He's too old now. Michael Owen.
Just say, can you come in, work with him through pre-season? The little nuances of finishing in that corner. And when you go through, what are you thinking? I think that's what he's missing. I think he's a great athlete. He works hard, fights all day. But the nuances of getting in and around, and when you're in this position, it's this.
Listen, there's a reason why strikers are the most expensive, hardest thing to find.
Yeah.
They're the ones that win you the games.
Absolutely.
And that's, for me, where Liverpool have gone from being a team that could win games without playing well because of the firepower to a team that can win games.
And normally the strikers get paid well, other than this year.
Yeah, it's a tough gig being a striker. There's two positions on a football pitch. Goalkeeper and striker, where you're
just ignored that, by the way.
When you judge how many games you play, how many goals you scored.
Absolutely, yeah.
No other position. Goalkeeper, how many games you play, how many you concede.
Yeah.
But I
that's
worry,
the price on a ticket, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
One of my worries as a Liverpool supporter would be if Salah goes, and I think looking at his body language, looking at what he's done in the second half of the season, I think his focus hasn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a deal done at the start of the season? Like,
a bit like Ronaldo.
Ronaldo going to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
If he does leave, that's a major problem to have replacing his 20 plus goals.
Is that a bigger problem than fixing if Van Dijk goes as well or Trent goes?
You wouldn't want to lose both of them, would you?
Mm-hmm. There's a chance to lose both of them, isn't there?
I mean, if you think back to Liverpool's from a team that was not there to a team that was challenging, it was Alisson selling Coutinho, Alisson, Van Dijk, and still having a big chunk of change. To lose Van Dijk and Salah in one hit, it then becomes a difficult job for Slot.
Mm. Who's more important, Salah or Van Dijk, to keep?
You know, if Van Dijk was to go, that leaves a great big hole in the back of the defence. So that'd be a major problem. But then what's more important, a guy who helps you keep the ball at the back of the net, your net, or someone who scores for fun at the other end? But if you're getting Salah over the last few months, you would be happy to see the back of him if you're getting a big check for him. What's the...
No, I'm just thinking. I was just thinking aloud about the analysis of what is more important: the guy that scores the goals or the guy that stops going in. The goals going in the back of the net, the goalkeeper, the centre half. And I'd say it's probably a bit of both. But you're the football manager.
No. I mean, they don't have any obvious candidates.
Which one are you saying?
But if I'm sitting firmly on this fence.
I got to be honest. You two are getting on my nerves a bit. So I'll wind this up.
How's your back carrying the show?
I did warn you. I did try and warn you. It'll be a difficult hour.
On a serious note, you know, I did talk to you about Graham, and obviously the fact he's very low-key and he's not the president of his own fan club and he doesn't like talking about himself all the time and going back to the 1820s when he was riding around in a cart playing for Liverpool. But have you found this first show with Graham?
Fantastic. Yeah. He's a really, really good...
Shut up, Troy.
Hey.
Sorry.
How have you found working with Simon?
Grotty footballer.
I've enjoyed it. It's been good to have Simon, obviously, you know, give us his time because he's got so many shows now.
Yeah.
The fact that he's doing this, officially, he's a media tar.
Thank you.
No problem. I've
kept Graham's career going because he's 107. He's not getting gigs or anything else. Too busy apologising and snivelling for things that he said once upon a time. And you're in the media now.
Yeah. And
so thank you is the word you're looking for.
Now, we're just warming up. That's been good. I've enjoyed that.
It's been good.
This has been Three Up Front, brought to you by William Hill.
Subscribe to the channel for weekly episodes.
And don't forget to go back for some of my upfront episodes. Not bad, if I do say so myself.
18 plus, please gamble responsibly.